السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday we had discussed Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's contributions in the Battle of Uhud. Today we discuss the battles of Banu Nadir, Banu Mustarik, Khandak, and Banu Qurayza. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam completed his Mubarak Hijrat, one of his first acts as leader of Medina Munawwara was to sign a peace treaty with the Jewish tribes of Medina Munawwara. There were three Jewish tribes at the time: Banu Nazir, Banu Qaynuqa, and the Banu Qurayza. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into a treaty with them so that they could now live in harmony. There's some guidelines, some rules. According to the terms of that treaty, Jews had the right to practice their own faith. If they didn't want to accept Islam, they can carry on, practice their own faith. And Muslims were required to protect the Jews against external enemies. If anybody is coming from the outside to fight, then the Muslims should offer protection, and it was their duty to protect these Jews. The Jews, on the other hand, were required to remain loyal to their Muslim neighbors in Medina Munawwara. One of the specific clauses of the treaty stipulated that if a Muslim killed someone from a foreign tribe, then the Jews would help their Muslim neighbors to pay the blood money to the victim's fellow clansmen. It should therefore come as no surprise that when Amr bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala killed two men from the Banu Amir tribe, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam headed towards his neighbors from the Banu Nazir tribe in order to ask them to contribute towards the payment of the victim's blood money. Now, there's a lot of fiqh in this, a lot of jurisprudence that goes into it. If a murder is committed, right, with a murder weapon intentionally, the person murdered somebody, then that person's life is taken, right? Then there are other circumstances where the person can offer to pay blood money, and if the family of the person who was murdered, who was killed, they accept the blood money, then this person will have to come up with the blood money, he'll have to pay the blood money. Now, in certain instances where blood money becomes wajib, where you have to pay the blood money, then the people of your locality, they got to now assist you, come together and assist you in paying that blood money. As I said, there's a lot of fiqh that's going into it. We're not going into all the masla masail. But what happened here was that Amr bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala had killed two people from the Banu Amir tribe. And now he had to come up with the blood money. So in his locality, in his neighborhood, there were certain Jewish people also that were living. And according to the clause of the treaty, they must also club in, they must also assist. I mean, you can't only want the good things, you know. If you want South Africa's beaches, then you have to contend with the potholes too, you know. It goes hand in hand, you know. You can't only want the beaches and they don't want the potholes. Both go together. So you get the sweet, you get the sour, everything you got to take. So these Jews were living in Muslim land and they were in peace, right? There are no problems. If any enemy had to come to attack them, the Muslim army would defend them, etc. But then you got to pay also. There are times when you got to now also come to the party, as they say. So here in this situation, they had to also now club in and contribute towards that blood money. The death of the two men resulted from a grave misunderstanding, and there was no real fault on Amr bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala. This is why the blood money could be paid in that situation. Right? Led by a power-hungry renegade member of the Banu Amir tribe, a group of criminals, now they committed murder, right, against a number of Muslim delegates from Medina Munawara. Amr bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala, one of those delegates, managed to escape. And on his way back to Medina Munawara, he came across two men from the Banu Amir tribe. Amr radiallahu ta'ala did not know that the actual leader of the Banu Amir tribe did not sanction the murder of those Muslim delegates. He didn't know that it wasn't, you know, the leader of the Banu Amir tribe that gave the hukam now that those Muslim delegates should be murdered. Nor the Banu Amir tribesman who was responsible for the slaughter was seeking his own gain and was acting against the orders of his leader. So imputing blame to the entire Banu Amir tribe, Amr bin Umayyah waited until these two men fell asleep and then he killed them. So in his understanding at that time, this tribe, the Banu Amir tribe, had basically like rebelled against the Muslims, in his understanding at that time. And now there's two members of this tribe, of this clan, the same clan that now killed all my satis, all my friends, and he managed to escape. And now he spotted two of their people. So he thought that this is now the time to... So the actual leader didn't instruct that this killing and all that must take place, right? But khair, so he killed those two people. While they were sleeping, he killed both of them. Amr radiallahu ta'ala, now however that those two men, little did Amr know, right, that those two men were returning from Medina Munawara, having just agreed to a peace treaty with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't know that. The confusion which resulted left Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now in a difficult position. On the one side, this tribe did commit the murder. On the other side, these particular people were not guilty. Right? So, just and fair as he was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not hold the entire Banu Amir tribe responsible for the actions of some of their members. Especially considering the fact that the member or those people who committed that murder, they were like traitors. They didn't act on the instructions of their chief. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that in order to avert further bloodshed, he had no choice but to pay the blood money for the killings that were perpetrated by Amr bin Umayyah. Now the reason that Amr bin Umayyah was not put to death, because to start off with, these are disbelievers living in the Muslim land. Number two, he killed them in a misunderstanding. Right? It wasn't any, like, now intentionally he went out to commit a murder. So now you could pay the blood money, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the fatwa that pay the blood money and stop the killings now. So in order to achieve this end, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the district of the Banu Nazir to go and talk to them, because they were the neighbors of this Sahabi, so they would have had to club in now. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to speak to them, to tell them that, look, you all need to now contribute financially and we pay the blood money. Upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival in the district of the Banu Nazir, the Jewish leaders of the Banu Nazir welcomed him with smiling faces, sweet words, like how the kuffar leaders speak to our Arab brothers in Arab countries, Arab leaders. But now it has become so sad that the Arab leaders are welcoming them with smiling faces and kisses and Allah Ta'ala protect us. So they welcome Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like how if a long lost friend has just come, so how you would go out to meet him, and you know, they were acting like that, so enthusiastic at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's visit. Upon hearing his request for financial assistance, they said, yes, O Abu al-Qasim, we will help you in any way you please. But to the degree they externally manifested joy and happiness, they internally harbored malice and hate towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So what they did, they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must wait a little while, so that they can, have a little meeting amongst themselves and collect the money and come and give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the money. The Jewish leaders of Banu Nazir convened an emergency meeting, during which they made a rash decision which led to their ultimate demise. They unwisely decided to make an attempt on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. They said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now in their locality, he's sitting there, he's waiting for them to have their mashwara, come up with the finances. As soon as they were alone with one another, they said, we will never again find him in such a vulnerable position, because he's right here in our midst with only few of his companions, doesn't have too much of assistance, right? So he's vulnerable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seemingly vulnerable to an assassination attempt, for he was waiting for them underneath one of the walls of the houses. And yet, he was not really vulnerable. Why? Because he had the protection of Allah Ta'ala. And when one has the protection of Allah Ta'ala, then you're never vulnerable. Sometimes, as I said to you, that when we discuss the seerah, or we discuss the lives of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, or even of our akabirin, as we are discussing in the morning the life of Hazrat Imam Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi, then one is to read it as a story, the other is to take lessons, check into our lives, what lesson can I derive from here. So sometimes we in our country, where we do have crime, definitely there is crime, but sometimes in trying to save ourselves from the crime, we go to such lengths where we are making inhimak in asbab. We are adopting too much of means. So this adoption of too much of means, one is we have to utilize the means. Allah Ta'ala has given us the means, we must use it. Alhamdulillah. But to excessively use means is also a sign that there is no tawakkul. Person has got no tawakkul. Alhamdulillah. And when a person excessively uses the means, then also what happens is he is tempted towards using haram means. Because if all the permissible means fail, then what's the next step? Is haram means. Now what we need to understand is that life is a test. Life is a test. And Allah Ta'ala has promised that He is going to test us. Right? Sometime Allah Pak will test us with our wealth. Sometime Allah Pak will test us with the profits in our business, the fruits in our orchards, the crop in our farms. Sometime Allah Pak will test us with the loss of life. Right? All different tests will befall us. If we think that we're going to outsmart Allah Pak, then we got a problem. We think we're going to outsmart Allah Pak, that whichever way Allah Pak tries to test me, I got it covered. I mentioned this some time back, that before we used to say that theft used to take place, but no bloody crime. We used to say this before, in the old days. First it was that, you know what, South Africa is such a safe place. There are no burglar guards, no gates. There was no need for maxi doors and tready doors and all these type of things, right? People had no high walls around their houses. Then slowly the walls came, the burglar guards came, the tready doors and maxi doors and alarm systems and more sophisticated alarm systems, right? Then security guards start getting our own security guards, dogs, right? Neighborhood watches, all so many different asbab we then employ, right? Now when we see that despite all of that, still criminals are still, you know, one up, still smarter than all the means that we have adopted. I say, no man. Best thing now, rather take out insurance. Rather take out insurance, because, I mean, car goes, or if they have to steal the family's jewelry, or if they steal the money from the shop, or whatever, how are we going to sustain the loss? Now why we do this is we think we in charge. Right? Allah Ta'ala is telling us, I'm going to test you. Right? So before it was small tests. Right? But we said, no. We're going to outsmart this test. We're going to get wiser. So we're going to do this. Then the test got a little bit more, because now that asbab needs to be broken. Right? So then we said, no, we're going to outsmart that too. So then we got our own personal security guards. Then what happened? Those very same security guards, they were giving the information and houses were getting broken into and whatever, right? Then we said, no man, best thing we must ensure. Kuffar got the right solution, you see. Kuffar got the right solution, we must ensure. So that any, they steal anything, whatever goes, whatever, you just get paid out, finish, kalas. So then what started happening? Then the crimes started getting bloody. Then mothers and sisters' izzat started getting taken. Now how is the insurance now going to help you against that? How is the insurance going to protect the person from that? The insurance will pay for the motor car. What more are they going to do if a life was lost? If izzat was taken, somebody was stabbed and thrown in the sugarcane fields and all that, how is the insurance company going to compensate for that? So we must understand that we utilize means to a certain extent, and after that leave it in Allah Pak's hands, and what's to be is going to be. We have to accept the decree of Allah Pak. We can't outsmart Allah Pak and expect that no difficulties are going to come to me now. I've got everything covered now. Allah Pak is promising us, I'm going to test you. Right? So we have to accept that this, in this life, there will be tests. There will be tests. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq to understand. To understand. We don't ask for tests. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to always say this. Ask Allah Pak for afiyat. Don't ask Allah Pak for tests. Right? But if Allah Ta'ala is to put a test on us, then we have to bear it with sabr. We have to make sabr and we have to accept it. This is a test from Allah Ta'ala. And if Allah Pak had given us the first time, then what stops Allah Pak from giving us again? He can make the asbab and give us again. If something went, must always think of the dua. Ma Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says that when my husband passed away, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, must read the dua, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khtufli khayram minha. Ya Allah, reward me in this difficulty that, you know, has afflicted me, this difficulty of mine, and replace me with something better. Something better. So she said that because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Mazid the dua, so I read the dua. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that where can there be a better replacement? I mean, I have such a wonderful husband. How can there be a better replacement? Where am I going to get a husband as good as this? And a little while later, once her iddat, everything finished, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam proposed to her and she got married to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then she herself, she says, I mean, who can be better than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? You know? So Allah Ta'ala وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That person who fears Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala finds a way out for him. And Allah Ta'ala sustains him, would give him rozi from avenues that he didn't even fathom, he didn't even think that rozi can come from that avenue. Right? There are so many people in our own country. If you just look in your families, you think a little bit. There are so many people whom they went through major loss. Major loss they went through in their lives. But they adopted sabr, they didn't turn to haram means. And the same people today, Allah Ta'ala has given them much, much bigger empires than what they had when they lost. And at the time when they lost, people thought they finished. Now. These people are over now. They finished. So here again, when we have Allah Ta'ala with us, then nobody can harm us of their own accord. Gee, if Allah Ta'ala wants some harm, some difficulty to come to us as a test, that's going to come. That is going to come. Whether we like it or not, is going to come. But nobody else of their own accord can harm us if we have Allah Ta'ala's protection with us. Gee. The Jewish leaders of Banu Nazir said to one another that who will climb the wall of the house and cast down a rock. Go on top and take a rock, throw it over. And this will spare us the trouble of ever having to deal with him again, referring to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you think to yourself, we even get a rock on the roof. How is going to have a rock there on the roof? You take a rock and go on the roof. Travel in the rural areas and you'll see a lot of rocks on the roofs. They keep rocks on the roof to hold the roof down. So whatever, but this was the plan that they made, that go on top where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting, go on the roof and roll one boulder over, one rock over, and assassinate Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Amr bin Jihash bin Ka'ab, he was the person who quickly volunteered for this vile deed. He said, I'm the man for the job. So quickly he went to climb the wall. Meanwhile, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting on the other side of the wall. With him were some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. While Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting there, before that person could climb from the ground to the wall, Jibreel came from the skies to the zameen. He's climbing from the ground onto the wall. Wa makaru wa makarallah. Wallahu khairul makirin. They are making this plan, right? Allah Ta'ala has got his plan. So Jibreel alayhi salam comes, informs Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to leave before this Amr could do anything. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up from there and told the Sahaba, come, let's go. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned safely to Madina Munawwara. Now see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hikmat, right? Didn't panic. Didn't put anybody else in a panic. He didn't turn around now to prove a point to them. Yeah, you wanted to go do this. Yeah, this nothing, right? Quietly he stood up from there. He left. Took the Sahaba. Radhiyallahu anhum. Now when they returned to Madina Munawwara, they're safe back in Madina Munawwara. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum with regards to what the Banu Nazir wanted to do. This was the Banu Nazir's plans. Prior to this incident, the leaders of Banu Nazir had shown time and time again that they were the enemies of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on more than one occasion they violated the terms of their treaty with the Muslims. But this time, they pushed it too far. Now they wanted to make an assassination attempt on the life of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama radiallahu ta'ala to go to them and tell them to evacuate their homes and leave Madina Munawwara for good. They had opportunity to stay nicely in peace. They didn't want to respect that. They violated the treaty, right? Pack up and move it up. The Banu Nazir now were left with a very difficult decision. On the one hand, they were strongly attached to their land, their homes, and they desperately wanted to inflict harm on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, they knew that they didn't have the military might to withstand the strength of the Muslim army. In spite of their weaknesses, right, they decided to stay. Mainly because the munafiqeen, the hypocrites in Madina Munawwara, sent a message to them that, look, don't worry, you all stay. You all stay. If there's any fighting, we will come and stand with you. You know, like that, yesterday I was telling you, don't worry, I'll take a bullet for you. When the gun comes out, you look, you know, where's this fellow, bhai? He's gone. So the munafiqeen, they promised them, said, oh, don't worry, I'm there with you. We there with you all. Any fighting, you all just stay, don't worry. The first grave mistake of the leaders of the Banu Nazir was to make an attempt on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Second was to trust promises of hypocrites. Right? For one of the main characteristics of hypocrites is that they never keep to their promise. Thus, deciding to fortify themselves in their homes, they sent word to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam proclaiming that they are declaring war and they're not leaving. They rather fight. What followed was a tense military confrontation that lasted for 15 days, during which time the Muslim army besieged the district that was inhabited by Banu Nazir, making it clear that the people of Banu Nazir had no life left to live in Madina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered, now they locked themselves up in the fort. Right? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered that some of their trees must be cut and others must be burned to the ground. Now these people, they locked themselves up in the fort. They're waiting for the hypocrites to come. Those hypocrites are not arriving. They're waiting for reinforcements. Reinforcements are not coming. So having received no help from their hypocrite allies, the leaders of Banu Nazir lost all hope and conceded defeat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then ordered them to evacuate their homes, mercifully allowing them to take with them all of the wealth they could load onto their camels. Whatever they can load on their camels, they must load it up, take it away. But they were not allowed to take any weaponry. All the weapons had to be left behind. Upon the conclusion of this confrontation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Suratul Hashr. which we will still come to inshallah in the Taraweeh. Allah Ta'ala revealed that surah. So this was the incident that took place with the Banu Nazir. And on this occasion also, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll have a short break now. Till about 9:45. If you want to relieve yourself or have a little snack or whatever, you can do that. 9:45. We have the next program, inshallah. Subhanallah. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.